Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome, everyone. This is Pam Grennan, and this is the Cosmic Contact Show, coming to you from the RBR Network. We're glad to have you joining us this evening for this cosmic journey we're getting ready to take. And I wanted you to know that we are located out of Memphis, Tennessee, but I'm talking to you from Redmond, Washington. Anyone can access this show by going to www.blogtalkradio.com/Renford. Live, or by going to the archives, which is the on-demand section. You can see it available shortly after the show finishes. Now, if you're not online or you have someone who wants to hear the show, you have to call in to 347-838-9142. If you want to ask a question, use the same number, 347-838-9142, and press the 1 button on your touch tone, and that will let the moderator, Annie, know that you've got a question. And your questions, we'll get to them as soon as we can. There's quite a few people who have called in, so we're going to have a great show this evening. I want to tell you about the network, and we have several long. We have wonderful shows that are being put out there on the Internet. The first one, of course, is mine on Monday, and it's every Monday at 6:30 Central Standard Time. Tuesday, the I'm Well Show, that's at 8 p.m. Central Standard Time. The Night Search Show is on Tuesday, too, at 9:30 p.m. And again, this is all Central Standard. Wednesday is the No Show, is at 7 p.m. Central Standard Time. The Laws of Material Wealth Development Program, that's at 8:30 p.m. Central Standard Time on Wednesday. Thursday is the Progressive News Weekly Show, that's at 5:30. Friday is the Searchers Roadmap Show at 1 p.m. The Dream Vision 7 show comes on after that at 3 p.m. And then we have Soul Town on Saturday, the Sound of Music. That's at 3 p.m. Sunday is the Dream Vision 7 show, and that's at 3 p.m. So that's the people that we have, the shows that we offer. So be sure and check everyone out all week long. We have wonderful guests. I'm sure you'll find someone that you would really like to listen to. Well, you're going to love the lady I'm bringing in tonight. Her name is Joan Stubinsky, and she is amazing. I've had her on once before and couldn't wait to get her back on again. She's going to be sharing some great stuff with us. And Joan is a professional intuitive. Through near-death experience at the young age of 6, she found that she could see and communicate with spirits from beyond the physical realm. Besides that, Joan is an astrologer, numerologist, and a medium. She has lectured on spiritual subjects throughout the U.S. and Europe, working with thousands of clients for the past 30 years. She also is the author of 3 fiction books aimed at young adults with an interest in psychic skills and spiritual stories. As you can tell, she has a lot to share. Now, we will be giving Joan's contact information out, but later on in the show, but you can reach her at joanstubinsky@gmail.com. Her phone number is 623-247-5998. You'll probably want to call her after you hear what she has to share. And we talked earlier, and Joan is going to be sharing about ghosts this evening and about the afterlife and what it is like when we get on the other side and what we can expect and where our loved ones are and going on with them. And so if you've got some questions about someone that's crossed over, get your children really right so that she can answer it for you. Well, let me bring Joan in and so she can start sharing all this good stuff with us.
Hello, Pam.
Hi, Joan. Hi.
It's great to have
have me on. I'm going to enjoy this, I'm sure.
Well, we all are. This is exciting. Good. We've got some, like I said, we've got several people on the call tonight. But I would like for you to talk to us a little bit. And you said that you had been in Kansas City. Were you doing a talk about ghosts?
Well, I was in Topeka, Kansas, actually. And we went into Kansas City and we did a ghost tour. And having never been to Kansas before, I really didn't know what to expect of the people. And the first thing I've got to say is they are wonderful. I met the greatest group of people, the greatest group of teenagers. I mean, this was a wonderful gift to me. But the most miraculous part of the ghost tour, we had gone to several places, but the one that was the most miraculous for me was when we went to Constitution Hall. And Constitution Hall was where Kansas put together their state constitution. But what it was really known for was it was one of the major hubs for slaves in the Underground Railroad. And when we went downstairs to where these people had been hidden, the room was electric with joy. I don't think I've ever felt a place feel so free and joyous. It almost made me cry, but not with pain, but with joy. And there was an African-American gentleman with us that night. And when most of us went upstairs, he stayed with three of the other people because he had been so touched by being where he was. And he put his hands down on the ground and he got on his knees and orbs started flying off of him. And one of the gentlemen that was there started taking pictures, and I will have these pictures both on Facebook and also on my website, intuitivedirections.net, because in one picture particularly, there are two visible spirit forms and a hand.
Wow.
And when you were looking, you couldn't see them, but they showed up in the photographs incredibly plainly. And to me, this was the most miraculous thing. It just proved to me, again, how close we are to all of our spirit loved ones and all the people who've come before us. We are energy, and energy cannot be dissipated by the death of our body. It just moves on. And certainly some beings don't move on. I've been asked that before. But it's not as clear-cut as it used to be. It used to be that if you died from a suicide, let's say, then that meant that you were stuck on this plane as a spirit until you worked through whatever it was that created the suicide. But what I've been told now is that it depends upon why you suicide. If you're suiciding as a way to say, the heck with you, I hate you all, and you're going to be sorry when I'm gone, then yeah, you could get stuck in what I call the lost realm. And you don't have to stay there, but because of not releasing this plane, you stay stuck. But those that choose assisted suicide because they're dying, because life has created for them an incurable disease, and they choose to leave, they do not go to this realm. Some murder victims do, but usually the ones that are not finished here. Certainly some murderers do, especially those that perhaps murdered out of rage and then don't realize what they have done and they get stuck. So there is a realm between, and I hate the word realm, because what this is anybody who understands string theory in physics, all dimensions overlap one another. It's not like there is a clear-cut boundary between these places. And as time is going on and the energies are speeding up and becoming more intense, I believe that these dimensions are bleeding into one another more and more. And that's why I think so many people are feeling like they've been contacted by loved ones and angels and guides now. There's an explosion of this. And that's one of the reasons I wrote the three books that I wrote, which are really, even though they're novels, they're educational materials about what's happening to all of us and how to use your own senses and how to not let your fear get in the way of your own immense psychic ability. And it was amazing how many of the people that were on this ghost tour with us, who probably were pretty skeptical to begin with, actually began to see things and feel things. And a lot of them were very, very shocked because I really believe they expected it to be nothing. And they all, and not all of them, of course, but most of them ended up having some experience or another of their own psychic ability and their own, they allowed themselves to suspend judgment for a while and see what happened. And in doing that, they had some miraculous experiences. People who felt other people's physical situations, and then later it was proven that it was real. We went into an old-time doctor's office, and I kept feeling bore holes, which were holes they used to put in people's skull if they thought the people were mentally ill or depressed. It had a lot to do with getting rid of pressure, releasing demons, you know, all kinds of archaic notions of psychiatry. And when I mentioned it, the woman who was taking us around said, no, that's not possible. He wasn't a psychiatrist. But then we turned around and there was a plaque, Menninger, of the Menninger Foundation, which is one of the best psychiatric facilities in the world, practiced there. So it is really interesting how you can have these feelings. And if you trust those feelings, you know, suspend judgment for a while, you'll find your proofs. Am I making sense?
Well, absolutely. And I think that, again, I believe the veil is thinner than it's ever been. I think that it's easier to contact than our loved ones' spirits that cross than ever before.
And I agree. And it was really interesting because one of the places we went, and I'm sorry I cannot remember the name of the place for the life of me, I was walking around the outside and I felt a child. And I felt a child with long sausage curls and a white ruffly blouse and what felt like white breeches or something. I couldn't see a skirt, but I could feel white breeches and black button-up boots. And then I felt a woman who had died of dysentery of some form, and I described her, but she wasn't as descriptive as this, what I felt to be this little girl was. And so again, I asked the woman that was leading us around, and she said, no, that didn't fit any of the members of the family. We walk into the first room, which was a dining room, and there was a picture of a child exactly as I described it, except it was a boy. And I never knew that they dressed and did that to little boys back then. But they dressed them to look just like little girls, except they wore little white breeches. And when we went upstairs, the clothes that I had described, which were in the painting, were also laying on the bed, including the black button-down boots. Later, we discovered that the family this child was from and his mother, who was the other person I described and was another picture that was sitting right there, were a family that spent a lot of time in that house with the people who owned it. So it doesn't even have to be that if you're having hauntings in your house and the house is brand new and you're thinking, I don't understand this, well, you don't know what was in that on that land before your house was built. And even if people never died in that house, in the case of this little boy whose name was Robert, I kept trying to get him to leave because that's really what I think we're supposed to do when we find these spirits that are still attached to this realm, is to help them go over. And he wouldn't go. He said he had the most joyous life living there. He died in his very early 20s. He was a fighter pilot, and his plane went down. So he showed himself there as a child because he was going back to where he was happiest. So this is more complex than most people think it is. You know, they'll say to me, well, my house can't be haunted. And then I'll say to them, okay, why? Because it's brand new. All righty. And you know what was on the land. Yes, I do. Okay, do you collect antiques? Well, yeah, I have some antiques. Sometimes a spirit will stay with a precious antique. So basically, there are many ways to know whether your loved ones are around you. I know this is all over the web, but I'm going to repeat it. For some interesting reason, spirit beings seem to be able to manipulate winged creatures. So right after my boyfriend's mother died, he went into our backyard to work on his garden, and a hummingbird came up to him and flew right up to his face, its beak almost touching his nose, and hovered over him like that. And he came inside and said, I just had the weirdest thing. And I went, oh, okay. It happened for a week straight. That was his mother saying goodbye. Butterflies are notorious. Feathers, people finding feathers as a way of knowing their guides or loved ones are there trying to protect and thinking of them. So there are many ways that we are alerted to their presence. And one of the things that is the easiest for me is smells. If someone was a smoker, let's say, even if they quit before they died, they may come to you and you may smell cigarette smoke and not know why you're smelling it, or some sort of tobacco product. And this is that person saying, I'm still here and I love you. I'm just coming to say I love you. Or perfume that your grandmother wore. It can be almost anything. It doesn't have to be like Whoopi Goldberg in Ghost. It doesn't have to be, and often is not, anything like Poltergeist. And if you do have something like that, that's usually not a spirit. What a poltergeist is out of control energy, and you will usually find a prepubescent child in the home. And as their energy is growing, as they hit puberty, it goes out of. So spirits, I have very rarely come across a spirit that is hateful, that will do damage. And I also believe that if you believe in the power of the white light and of God, that that is the most powerful energy of anything, nothing can hurt you. And my guides once said to me, do you know how to rid darkness? And I said, how? And they said, with one candle. So if you are the candle, then no darkness can hurt you. And it is important to acknowledge the energies around us. The more we begin to fight it, the more off balance you begin to feel. Like that the world is spinning around you and you don't know what's happening. This is a time where we're supposed to be opening up to our natural gifts. They are not unnatural and they are not bad. They are something all of us have, but most of us shut it down early because we wanted to be acceptable. So now's the time to just start listening and watching and sensing and keeping a journal and opening your mind to that there's much greater possibilities in this world than most of us have ever really looked at. This was really an incredible opportunity for me because it was supposed to be just fun, but I definitely think it opened the minds of an awful lot of people. And they felt safe enough to let themselves begin to feel. And I think that's the big thing. If you can believe that you are strongly protected by your guides, angels, loved ones, and God, then you can feel protected enough to open yourself. And if you get scared, it's very simple. Just say, I'm surrounded by God's white light of protection. I'm closing down now. Thank you. And that's all you need to do.
Well, I'm glad you shared that a little bit because I think a lot of times people are afraid if they open that door, so to speak, that they're going to have sea spirits or have them all around them or whatever. But there are people like me that love making contact. I've had, and you were saying these little winged creatures that come around. The mosquitoes, but they, anyway, I've had different things, but definitely no, and feathers, all that, everything you said. So I really do feel connected, and I think we all do.
It's interesting for me because when I've told people about the feathers, I've had people say, well, birds shed feathers all the time, but my guides love doing it more interestingly. I find the feathers inside my home. And there's no bird. So how do the feathers get in front of my desk or a feather right on my pillow? And I don't have down pillows because I've got asthma. You know, places where there can't be a feather, where there's a feather. Or we've been walking and there's no feather, and then you look down and there's one. So feathers are a real easy way of your guides and your loved ones to tell you we're here, you're safe. But there are other ways too. Watch your animals. If there's a spirit in the house, animals can see them. And I was asked once, why is it that, you know, if it's a loved one and the dog knew the loved one, why is the dog barking or the cat hissing? So one day I was meditating and I asked my guides, why? Why is that? And they said, it's very simple. Animals judge things by scent first. And spirits, except if they're creating the scent like smoke or whatever, they don't have a personal scent anymore. And that's what the animal is looking for. They see the person they know or don't know, depending upon the circumstance, but they see somebody standing there, and they can see them a lot more plainly than we can often. They see them standing there, but they have no scent, no personal body odor, and the animals initially will freak out. Once they're used to it, you may see your dog or cat constantly looking in the same corner, just sitting there staring at this corner. And then all of a sudden, they'll just stop and go to sleep. Well, the spirit is there for a while and then leaves. If your animal goes ballistic, I mean, all hair standing on end, they're totally freaking out, that usually means that they're reacting to your fear. Animals are very protective, and if they feel that you're fearing this, then they're going to automatically see it as a negative and then overreact to it just like you are. Animals read minds. They see pictures. So if you're thinking, oh my gosh, I'm really scared, and you're thinking negative, really negative thoughts, that animal will pick it up and react to it. That's why when you're out walking your dog often, if you see another bigger dog and you get frightened, your dog becomes aggressive. So they can sense spirits, see spirits, I'm sorry, they do more than sense it. They can see spirits all the time. And they will also protect you if need be, but again, I don't believe that it's necessary if you use a white light and you believe in God. That's just my personal belief, but it served me for a lot of years. Now, I've also had people ask, I really want to talk to my loved one, but no matter how hard I try, I don't seem to be able to. Well, the problem is they're trying too hard. Right after, I've been able to see spirits ever since I was little, and it never seemed odd to me, but it was never anybody I was fighting to see. But when my husband died, I couldn't reach him. For the life of me, I could not reach him. And it was ripping me up, and it made me start doubting everything I knew. I just kept thinking, you know, what is this? Maybe I made all this stuff up all these years. Maybe it isn't real. And I kept trying, and I kept trying. And finally, after about 3 or 4 days, I'm in the shower, and I'm crying because I'm hurting. And all of a sudden, I heard a voice say to me, "It's okay, I haven't left yet." And, I mean, I almost flew out of that shower. And I said, "Is that you?" And he said, "You sound like one of your clients. Who the heck would be in the shower with you?" And I said, "Prove it to me. How do I know it's you?" And he just started laughing at me and saying, "That's why you couldn't hear me before. You're looking for something bigger than what it is. Well, I'll show you one time." And all of a sudden, he just, the medicine cabinet that sticks in that bathroom just went and hit the mirror next to it. And he said, "Is that enough?" Now, that was me. The average person would get messages not quite that extreme, of course. My husband was always a little bit of a dramatic human being. He was in theater for many years. But you get messages, you just rationalize them. The clock stops working right. And you say to yourself, "It's an old clock." Things you think you put something down, but then you go back forward and it's not there. And you start looking around and you come back and all of a sudden, "Oh, it is there. How'd I miss it?" And you rationalize you just missed it. Spirits will find ways to reach you if you're open to knowing that they are, but you can shut them out. And so the easiest way for me to do it is meditate and ask them to come. And this may take a little bit of work. You know, they may come and you may be looking for some, you know, to see them visually. And let me tell you, most spirits do not show up visually. That takes a lot of energy. So they show up in other ways. I see them as blue mists. It's a light blue mist, and it's always spirit forms when I see it like that. Other people see them as orbs, lights, streaks of light. Years ago, my son and I went to England, and we had come out of the British Museum, and I had taken a ton of pictures in the British Museum. And we got lost, and we're walking down the street, and I loved the street. It just felt really good. And I decided to take pictures of the street. So I took 3 pictures of the street. And then we found our hotel and we went on to Paris and I took pictures of all through the Louvre. Now, this was back when there weren't digital cameras. This was a film camera. When I got the film back, all the pictures were perfect except the 3 I took on that street. There were massive streaks of colored light all the way through it, and I mean different colors. There was gold light, and there was red light, and there was blue light. I mean, just streaks of light. So I researched the place, and it's supposed to be London's most haunted street. So I took the camera into a camera store, and I said, "Can you explain this?" And they said, there has to be something wrong with the camera. And I said, but the pictures before it and the pictures after it are perfect. It's only these three pictures, and nobody could explain it to me. So I photographed some spirit forms. Now, a lot of people will see those streaks of light out of the corner of their eye. Or even, people tend to think this is negative. It's not. Like, they may, out of the corner of their eye, see a darker form. And then they usually freak out, or they rationalize that there's, you know, that it's their eyes are being weird. Darkness has nothing to do with whether it's good or bad. It just may be that's the only way it can blend in to be seen. You may see literal orbs, balls of light. Those are the ones you see in photographs a lot. So why the camera has an easier time of pinpointing these shapes, I'm still not sure of. But I know when we were in Constitution Hall, I saw a lot of activity in the area where we got the picture of the spirits. And that's another reason why the gentleman Gerard started taking pictures in that area. So if you think you have a spirit, start taking pictures. See what comes up. See if you see streaks of light in the pictures or orbs or a blue hazy form, or in one case, a really prominent blue hand. But the most important thing is put your skepticism aside a moment. Be back to being a child. You know how children live in this state of wonder? They don't judge something as good or bad when they're young. Instead, everything is wonderful and new and fresh, and wow, isn't that neat? If we can all live like that, I believe that we will discover that we live in a world filled with magic. All kinds of beautiful things exist that we have shut our minds to. And I find that to be incredibly sad, very sad. And that's another reason why I wrote my books, because there's an awful lot of people who have these experiences. And originally I wrote it for teenagers, because that's when we're actually the most psychic, is when we're going through puberty and our bodies are changing and everything's askew and all our energy is weird, is when we're the most psychic. But thus far, the people I've heard the most from in my readership are people that are, I'd say, in their 40s, 50s, and 60s, who have read them and said, oh my God, did this open up something? I didn't realize that this was why this was happening. So even if you're not an adolescent or a teenager, the books may enlighten you to things that have happened throughout your life or are just beginning that you don't fully understand. And I also do go into a lot in the third book. The third book's the heaviest book, but you have to read them in sequence. They build in information. But the third book goes very heavily into the lost realm, to the other side, to release, to forgiveness, and ways to do them. Not just that, hey, you need to learn to forgive, but actual techniques that work. And even how to walk between the realms.
Well, the books sound really interesting. Do you get a great response from yourselves, children or parents getting them for their children?
You know, I've only had that happen a little bit, where parents have bought them for their teenagers. Mostly, and this really surprises me, because even my clients do this, and I don't fully understand it, but I bless it and figure they have a reason. But it seems to me that a lot of parents are opening to their own psychic gifts but are afraid to recognize it in their kids. It's almost like they're trying to spare their children from being odd or something, when instead we have a world filled with avatars now. Children born knowing things. Children that are incredible, absolutely marvelous beings that may not be being recognized because of the parents' fear that the child will be considered weird. And I would argue that's the complete opposite. One of the greatest gifts I got in college was people knowing that I was a psychic, and I made more friends because of that. You know, everybody wanted to see if I was really weird or what I was, and they discovered I was just a normal person that hadn't shut down completely to other options. And if there's a gift that I have, it's the gift that I can be normal and still be psychic. I don't get real woo-woo when I'm doing a reading for someone. It's pretty down to earth. Here's what's happening in your life. This is why it's happening. Now here are some options for changing it. It's not, unless you want to know about the more intense spiritual past life things, my readings are pretty, here's what you need to do, here's what your dilemma is, here's what your karma is, here's your dharma. It's pretty direct. And I don't understand why parents often are afraid for their children to have this added path. I do have clients that have had their children have readings with me. I have a minimum age of 13. I won't do younger than 13 because even 13-year-olds, I'm not sure, are fully capable often of giving their permission that I get into their past life records and understand their dharma and karma in this life. But the ones that do have given their children a leg up. You know, it's funny because in India, all of the upper caste families have a chart done of their children at birth. And they use these charts to help their children to find the purpose, to find the career that resonates with them, and also eventually to pick their spouse. And you know that India has almost no divorce rate, and most people in India that are working careers love their career because we have maps. We are given maps at birth. Those maps are our numerology charts and our astrology charts, and these people understand how to use the astrology chart to help their child find their strengths, overcome their weaknesses. You know, God is a wonderful, incredible energy of love that has set forth a world where things make sense and pay back if you understand it, and only is traumatic when you fight your soul's path. And so having the tools to figure out what that is makes life a whole lot easier, especially now, as, like I said, the energies are shifting. More people are going through what my guides call the activation, where they're becoming more aware of what they're here to do. Many are finding that they are developing psychic abilities that they didn't even realize they had, although they had them. They were probably shut down, and now the doors, I love this title, the doors of perception are being open. And that's one of the reasons I wrote the books, was to let people know it and teach them, because not everybody can come to my classes. You know, that's pretty difficult to do. But those that can't get some of them in the book. in the books. Each book has a set of classes. And one of the things that we're working on now to go with the books are kind of a, I hate this word, but okay, thank you guys, a spiritual development workbook or handbook. And it will have meditations in it, it will have exercises, it will have all kinds of information. So we're working on that right now, it's in process. And also on, we have a website for the books called becomingthelights.com. And on that, the characters in the book are talking about some of their experiences. And what we're hoping is that we can have a dialogue starting with the people who've read the books that have questions about their own progress, that a dialogue can start on that site. And then one of the other things I'm excited about is on the ArianaSeries.com website, for the first 10 people who sign up for our newsletter, we are offering a free meditation CD that I will be producing and sending out to the first 10 people that sign up for our newsletter on that site. So we've got a lot of things happening right now in order to try and work with people who have questions about what's happening right now, their own spirituality, their own psychic ability, their children's psychic ability. I have constantly people saying to me, I think my child is really, really psychic. What do I do? How do I work with this? And it is extremely important to know how to work with it so that you don't scare the child through your own fears. So it's an exciting time. It is probably the most exciting time that I've lived through, and I'm by no means young. And so there are so many more opportunities, but you have to tune in. You have to stop doubting yourself. You have to begin to trust in your own power. We are incredibly powerful creators, and we have the opportunity to create a wonderful world or to give up and say, well, it's always been like this. There's nothing I can do. And I'm seeing the world as having come together in consciousness, mm-hmm. And I think if enough of us do that, then it will happen, absolutely will happen.
Well, I think so, too. Well, Joan, that is so exciting that you're writing this new book. That sounds really interesting. I can't wait to see that getting out here. And would you like, people are just lining up wanting to talk to you. Let's bring somebody in that's got a question here. Let's see. Annie, are you on the line with me? Let's see. Yeah, there's so many.
Here.
I'm going to bring
I'm here.
Hey, how about Diane? Did she want
okay.
to talk? Let me bring Diane. Hold on.
Let's see.
Hello?
Diane, are you there?
Hello?
Diane?
I'm so sorry about that.
That's okay.
Diane, are you there? I guess Diane's not there. Shall we try somebody else?
Yeah,
yes, we
let's
will.
Try. And I'll try to get back with Diane there.
Okay.
Okay, you want to bring in Patty from Colorado?
Yes. Hello?
Hi, Patty.
Hi.
Hi, Patty. What can I do for you?
Well, I'd really like to touch in with Spirit. I am currently interested in healing from what has occurred in my past and
so you're wanting to cleanse?
Well, yeah, and heal. Yeah.
Yeah.
And I'm wondering what Spirit has to tell me about that. I'm thinking of starting therapy again, although I've tried that in the past and it really hasn't worked. So,
hey, give me your birth date, hon.
2/11/80.
Yes, you have a master number day, which means that you are here to do something. This is a lifetime in which, unfortunately, those of us with master numbers tend to find early life a real struggle.
Yes.
As we release a lot of past karma so that we can do the work we're here to do. You're probably feeling an incredible sense of urgency to get on with whatever it is you're supposed to do. You're a double master number. So it's very, very important that you understand some basic spiritual tenets. The first, this one was explained to me years ago, and this may have some help in it to help you release some of this pain. What this person said to me was, imagine, if you will, before Jesus decided to be born in a physical body, he asked his 12 best friends to come with him. And the apostles all stepped forward and said, we would like to come with you. And he said, and which one of you loves me the most? And Judas stepped forward. And he said, thank you so much for loving me enough to betray me, because without your betrayal, none of this will work. So the concept is we all choose our Judases. And believe it or not, they are souls that love us more than anything, so they can help us to rid the karma that we have left over so we can move forward with our purpose. So it becomes a lot easier to release anger and resentment toward others if you realize without them you would never be the blessed, beautiful person you are. Even though I am not saying that what was done is okay. Don't ever get me wrong. What happened was not okay. However, you don't need to let it keep poisoning your life. Because that's what it's doing. It's eating
exactly.
you up. Yep. And
you're so right. I've come to the same conclusions myself that you know, these things that happened, I have chose, but I can get the lesson and I can move forward and release, you know, whatever happened to me and move forward, you know, and let it affect me for the good.
Yes, because you've had some experience now that nobody who hasn't had it will ever understand. Consequently, think of what you can do for others that are yet to find their spiritual centers that need the help as badly as you did.
Yeah.
You're here to help people understand that all of us can have a win-win, that the world does not have to be somebody has to lose for others to win. And you are also here to teach people how to be centered in themselves. And for you to teach that, you have to learn to be centered within yourself and understand that whatever occurs in our life, the only thing we can change about it is our perception of it.
Yes.
So begin to find the joy in it. I know that sounds crazy. When my husband died, he died leaving me $40,000 in debt with a 12-year-old son to raise alone, and I was horrified and incredibly scared. And my guide said, find something good in this. And I thought, are you crazy? What's good in this? And I worked at it, though. And you know what I found? What I found was I had a whole bed to myself. No snoring, no kicking. I could get in that bed and do whatever I wanted to do without worrying about anybody else. And I hung on to that piece of joy. So I think you're well on your way to getting to where you're going. If counseling works for you, wonderful. There's another thing out there called neuro-linguistic programming.
I wrote that down. I think I wrote that down.
It is a wonderful tool and can really help you learn how to turn off the negative thoughts and turn on the thoughts you really want.
Right. That's what I'm working with is really changing those negative thoughts. And traditional talk therapy hasn't really worked, but I'm looking into some other modes of healing like EFT and
try anything that works. And then also, if you read my books, the last book goes into letting go and forgiveness and healing. Actually, the second book has some in it, and the third book goes into more. So they may need you too. I believe in you. Now all you have to do is believe in yourself.
Right. Okay, well, thank you very much. It's good to know that I'm on my way, you know.
Are. And you're way more than halfway on along.
Oh, good.
So leave the path behind, okay?
Yeah, I want to, yeah.
Good.
Thank you so much.
You're welcome.
Well, I'm so glad you shared that about her life path, because I know I'm an 11 life path, and I've always kind of wondered why it took so long for things to happen, but anyway, it's all good. Joan, I want to bring someone else in. Annie, who else is, who's our next one? I kind of got off here. Let's see. Bring Ivatar in.
Yes, Ivatar.
Hi. Hi.
Hello.
Hello.
Do you have a question for me?
Yeah, I don't know if you can see, I don't even know what to call these beings, but they, you know, sometimes they're in the walls, they're on the roof, and I don't know if you can pick up on stuff like that.
Do they look like humans, or are they energy?
Well, I don't really know what they look like, you know, because I see all these different images and stuff like, I don't know what they look like.
Give me your
birth. 5853.
Okay. Have you been getting headaches? All of a sudden my head hurts.
Well, I didn't really have a headache, but there was something... Like, how can I explain this? Wave patterns that was affecting my head earlier.
Okay, because I'm definitely feeling a pressure in my head that doesn't feel good.
Mm-hmm.
Do you know, have you ever had a head injury?
No. Not, well, yeah, I did have a head injury, but it wasn't, I was in a car accident and I did hit my head. Yeah.
It definitely threw off some things in your electrical system.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm wondering if part of what you're seeing could be that, but part of it, it's almost like you see energy in places. I don't know how to explain it, but it's like almost like seeing electricity. So you've decided that it is a being. I don't think they are beings. I think you're seeing energy coalescing in places. Do you live anywhere close to what are they called? High wire electrical wires or anything?
There's a tower not that far from here. It's one single tower. But I don't see them. I hear them.
Okay, same thing. I think that what you're hearing is energy, and it's kind of like in I think it's New Mexico where the people hear this weird hum that our government swears isn't there. I think you're hearing some energy shifts, and I also think that you are. That part of it is what happened to your head.
Mm-hmm. Well, you know, I know that my energy it was out of line, but I've been working on that.
Okay. The
last 2 years, I've been that's been corrected.
Have you been meditating?
I meditate a lot. Yeah.
Okay. Good. During your meditations, ask your guides to explain what the energy is trying to tell you.
Okay.
Okay, because it is energy, but hear me, we're all energy. So all I say is this is something that you're going to have to deal with, but definitely be on top of what happened with your head because I still think there's something going on.
Okay.
Okay, sweetie?
Okay, thank you.
You're welcome.
Okay. Well, okay. That was good. We've got just a few more minutes on time, Joan, but we've got still have several people that have called in. Do you want to take another caller?
Sure.
Okay.
Let's bring
Claire.
Claire?
Hello. Hi.
Hi, Claire. What's your question?
Well, I have a little bit of concern about my daughter. She's a great girl, but she's a senior in high school, and I have concerns about if she's going to get into a college next year, and just,
Claire, give me her birthday.
4/3/98.
Well, I can tell you that a couple of years ago, something happened that really shook her to the core. She is a very interesting soul who I'm not sure believes she belongs here. Has she ever said anything to you about that?
No.
That she's not sure where she fits?
She is her own person for sure.
Yeah, definitely. She's a very old soul, and she's in a period in which she's learning who she is and what she thinks. Consequently, do not apply pressure about college to her, because if she feels pressured, she may make a choice based on not wanting to let you down, not based on what she really wants.
I also think
she's really brilliant, but I'm not sure that her school is adequate for her mental abilities.
No, it's not. She actually doesn't do well across the board.
Exactly, because she learns things fast. She gets bored with memorization and the minutiae of things. She's a problem solver. She wants to look at big picture things and take them apart and figure out where that goes next. So if you want her to go to college, which at this point I can tell you she's not really looking forward to, to college, you need to find a college that's more avant-garde in its thinking and find some career that lets her be a problem solver where she feels like she is doing something good for the world. She really, really needs things mellow in her life. She doesn't like harshness.
You're right.
So the whole idea of going to college scares her. It really scares her. She doesn't want to let you down. And she's really scared that she's going to let everybody down. I just want to put my arms around this girl and say, if you don't believe in yourself, then you'll accomplish nothing. And all I really want from you, and I think she needs to hear this from you, is for you to find what makes you happy. Whatever that is all that I want from you.
I think I've tried to tell her that over and over, but
she doesn't believe.
Well, that's a problem.
She's hard on herself because she, like I said, she doesn't think she fits. So if you talk with her, ask her if she ever feels like she doesn't know where she belongs. And this has nothing to do with you. She loves you. It has nothing to do with that. It's almost like feels like a stranger in a strange land here completely.
I think you're totally right. Her first reaction to where to go to college was I want to go to Europe. It's like, what the?
Yep.
You know, that's so, what connection do you have to Europe? You know, it's like off the planet. It's like Europe. You don't know what you're talking about.
Well, truthfully, she may, but I don't like the idea of pushing my books, but I'm going to. I think she needs to read them. I think they will resonate with her. She'll get it. This will explain a lot of why she feels the way she does. But please don't push her to do something, because if you push her to do it, then she's likely to do it and end up miserable.
Well, that's part of my dilemma, because she doesn't want to commit. I asked her, I said, certainly, you must have some general area of interest.
No,
because
she doesn't.
You're right, because she's kind of good at so many different things, you know, across that are very unusual.
And I think that's great. So if it were me and she was my child, I think I'd find a way to let her go to Europe, not to school, but for a month, to figure out what she wants to do before she has to make a commitment for the rest of her life.
I don't know if the Europe thing is on her agenda anymore, because that was almost like, to me, I was reading that as like some kind of knee-jerk reaction.
Oh, I think as soon as you reacted like you did, she let it go. Remember, the last thing this girl wants to do is hurt you, Claire.
Yeah.
She loves you very much. I don't know what happened to her last year or the year before, but something rattled her, and it made her feel less secure.
We moved out of state. We've moved many times, but we moved out of state here in California last year.
Okay.
Yeah.
It rattled her. It really did. So now you're telling her that you want to go to school. Now it's a whole bunch of new people again. I mean,
yes. She
just wants to hibernate right now. That's all she wants to do. Pam, are we over time? Pam?
No, we're doing good. We're not over time. We can talk as long as we want to. We're over our hour, but as long as people are listening in, they can hear what you're talking about. We still have another person that would like a reading, but when you're ready to end, you just let me know.
Yeah, Claire, that's the only thing I can tell you for her is she needs to find her way. If she does it your way, it'll be out of love, but she won't be happy.
And I'm trying to assist her in finding her way. I am, but it's so difficult, this whole college, between the money and this, whether you can get into the school. And there's all these variables that are so impossible to figure out, because they're out of your hands too. And then the money, of course, you know. So, and then she doesn't even know what she's interested in. It's I can't figure it out, so.
It's not your job to figure it out, it's hers. So all you can do is love her and say, I'm here for whatever you want. let her know she doesn't have to make a decision about a major her first year. She can try all kinds of things and see what resonates for her.
Do you know, can you tell me if she'll end up her first year of school in California or should she go out of state?
My gut says to me, if you get her in school at all, okay, because I really am feeling resistance, it won't be California. Where'd you come from? Would she go back?
Yeah, to the East Coast.
Yeah, that might be good for her. But I'm surprised she never was involved in theater. Not necessarily as an actress, but maybe as
she
a,
is in theater.
Okay.
Yeah.
She belongs in theater, but because you don't make any money unless you're lucky, she needs to be learning how to be involved with making productions, set designs, those kinds of things. I think if she got involved in the production of plays,
I agree.
Yeah, I think that would make her happiest, but she's not, I mean, she's not there yet. That's one of the reasons why I think the books might help her a lot to understand that she's not alone. She feels totally alone in this. And the reality is she isn't.
Yeah.
Okie doke.
I think you got something there with that set design. In fact, I myself am doing some work towards writing screenplays and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And it brought to, and she likes to create sets and costumes. And I thought, you know what? Maybe I could kind of drag her along with me.
Again, she needs to find this herself.
Yeah.
You can make the suggestions, but she's got to do it. Anyway, wait, Claire, I'm starting, I think if I'm going to do one more person, we've got to end it, hon.
Okay, and which book are you talking about?
Go on, all three, actually, if you download them from Amazon or go to the, let me see, I've got it written down here. I keep forgetting my website. It's the Ariana series, Ariana spelled A-R-I-A-N-A, series.com. You can download them on from Amazon or any of those places, and they're only $2.99 each. And there's three of them, Be the Light, Becoming the Light, and Fighting Darkness.
Okay, thanks so much. Appreciate
it. You're welcome, sweetie. You take care.
Bye-bye.
I can do one more, Pam, as long as it's not.
Okay, we've got one more, and we're going to get her to just give you a short question and get a quick answer. Hold on. Monica,
good.
Are you there?
Yes.
Hi, Monica. I need your birthday.
March 10th, 1991.
All righty. You should be going through a lot of confusion.
Yeah.
Okay. Go ahead with your question.
Well, it was with this guy that I started talking to because I just got out of, like, a relationship with an addict. But there was someone that I was really interested in and just wanted to see if there's potential there.
Do you know his birthday?
May 2nd, 19, he's 27. What would that be, 1989?
I don't know.
I'm
busy looking at you. Okay, first of all, I think this is too soon to fall back in love. From the last one, and those scars make it hard for you. It's like at times you're overly trusting, and at other times you don't trust at all.
Mm-hmm.
Definitely a period where you're going to be learning about love, and I'd rather that you do it the easy way, not the hard way. So if it were me, I'd be dating, I'd be having fun, I wouldn't be looking for Mr. Right this minute. You do need to have family. That's definite. That's part of what you're here to do, okay? You're a 336, so you're definitely here to help the world by teaching people what they're responsible for and bringing the family of man together.
Mm-hmm.
But you are definitely here to find yourself first, because if you don't, you'll end up sacrificing for all the wrong reasons. You already did that with your ex, where you sacrificed way too long before you finally realized you couldn't do anything.
Yeah, I did.
Yeah. So that's a pattern that I don't want you to fall into. So instead, I'd be having fun. I'd be saying, I'm not in love with anybody. I'm in lust. And that can be a lot of fun. But I don't need to look him to define me. If you do that, this relationship will be bad too.
Okay.
Okay.
And we had a connection, and he was saying, you know, he was interested, but I haven't heard from him today or yesterday much.
Did you say 27 or 28?
He's 27.
Okay. He's a little flaky. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know how to explain it, but he doesn't always have the follow-through he should.
Mm-hmm.
It's 88. I also feel like there's another girl around him. So did he tell you he was seeing anybody?
No, that's what I thought, too, that maybe he was with someone.
I think there's another girl around him. I don't necessarily think that it's the right person either, but he's got some sort of guilt involved with her. And frustrated, sweetie. Oh, this would frustrate. If it were me, if he gets in touch with you, wonderful. If he doesn't, just say, thank you, universe, you saved me from getting hurt.
Yeah. I mean,
you have somebody. I just want you to get some time, okay? Learn about who you are. Don't be looking for right?
Okay, that makes sense.
All righty, sweetie. Good luck.
Thank you. Bye.
Okay, Pam.
Okay, that was great. Well, honey, we know rejection is God's protection. I believe that. And
yep.
Thank you, gosh. I've loved your talk. It was so great, and I'm so excited to hear about your new book when you get it finished.
Okay.
Again, if anyone wants to talk to you and would like a reading with you, Joan's number is 623-247-5998. And thank you, honey. And gosh, you just shared so much. Do you have anything that you want to say in closing?
The most important thing I can say to anybody is all the answers are within yourself. You are immensely powerful because we are all a piece of God. We are all creators. Go out and create your best life. And expect it.
Well, amen to that. Thank you very much. And
thank
I want to wish everyone a great week. And we will talk to you soon. Please check in with Cosmic Contacts again next Monday at 6:30 Central Time, 4:30 Pacific Coast Time. And have a good evening. Annie, would you like to say something?
Well, what a great show, Joan, and thank you so much for all your information.
Well, thank you for having me, you two. I really appreciate it.
Well, we want you back again.
Have a great week.
I'll be calling you soon. Thank you. Yes.
Have a great Thanksgiving, everybody.
Yes.
You too.
Great Thanksgiving.
Thank you. Bye-bye.